Our attitude and our actions toward Israel have a direct bearing upon God's blessing us. In other words, the way I treat the Jewish people has a direct relationship as to how God dispenses his blessings to me.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in Chesterfield, Missouri. We're continuing on with a series which I've entitled Israel's Uniqueness, and what we're trying to demonstrate from the Word of God is that from God's perspective, the people of Israel have a special place, a special plan, and a special purpose in God's heart. And what we've gone over so far are just a couple of principles and a couple of points that demonstrates this. But before we get into our review, I do want to ask you a favor. If you wouldn't mind, would you get a piece of paper and a pencil and keep that handy? Because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you our address, and this will enable you to make contact with us and to request some of the material, some of the literature that we make available that you'll hear more about. But I want to go ahead and review for those of you who may not have been with us in our last broadcast. One of the things that I brought out, first of all, was from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, and verse 22, that spoke of Israel as being God's firstborn. And we tried to show that the word firstborn has nothing to do with chronological order, meaning that Israel was the first nation on this planet. Obviously, that wouldn't be the case. But rather, firstborn has behind it the idea of supremacy, first in rank, special, and unique. And we saw how this was applied to our Lord Jesus, that he was the firstborn of all creation. Not that he was the first created being, as some of the cult groups have come to believe. And also how it speaks of Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, referring to his resurrection, showing that his resurrection, even though there were people who were resurrected before him, and even he resurrected people from the dead during his earthly ministry before he was resurrected, his resurrection in comparison is special and unique, completely different from Lazarus and some of the others who were raised from the dead. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sins. We'd still be in our sins. So the fact that Jesus was, his resurrection is called the firstborn, that he was a firstborn from the dead, sets his resurrection apart from all other resurrections. In the same way, Israel is set apart by God, in the sense that they are his firstborn. He chose them. We saw that from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. And we used those verses to establish this truth that God did indeed choose the people of Israel, chose them for a very, very special reason. And because of that, there's a special and a unique place that they hold. Secondly, we saw from Amos chapter 3 and verse 2 that the nation of Israel has a unique covenantal relationship with God. God entered into a covenantal relationship. He called Abraham, his name was changed to eventually, made a covenant with him, and an unconditional covenant wasn't dependent upon Abraham's behavior for its fulfillment. God made this unconditional covenant with Abraham. It was confirmed to Isaac and then on to Jacob as well. He made other covenants with the people of Israel as well. We saw this in the book of Romans chapter 9, that the covenants were given to the Jewish people. And even though the Jewish people broke some of those covenants, in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, it refers to the new covenant that God says he was going to be making with the Jewish people, even though they broke some of the earlier covenants. And the reason why I emphasize that is because some dear friends will say that, well, yes, God did choose the Jewish people. However, because of their disobedience, God has taken all of those blessings and promises away from the Jewish people and given them to the church. I don't believe that, not because I'm Jewish, as I said last time, but rather because the scriptures still speak of the truth that God is still in a covenant relationship with the Jewish people. Another thing that we talked about last time was that the nation of Israel is especially dear to God. And we saw this from Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." And we tried to explain how sensitive and tender the eye is. And when people go against the Jewish people, basically what is happening, it's like somebody poking the finger in the eye of God. So this demonstrates that God has a very unique, special relationship with the people of Israel. Now, we want to go ahead and continue on, and I want to say this before I do. And I mentioned this last time, and I mentioned that I would continue to repeat it. The fact that we are trying to show from the Word of God that he has a special and a unique relationship with the Jewish people, this by no means is trying to show that God doesn't love the Gentile nations. And that would be the farthest thing from the truth. In fact, the Word of God is clear that when God chose the Jewish people, he had the Gentile nations in mind. Because of the special plan and purpose that God has for the Jewish people, this was the way in which the plan of redemption, the wonderful good news of forgiveness of sins through the person of the Lord Jesus and all that he did for us when he shed his blood and he died and was buried and rose again, that was supposed to be taken to the world. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand that when I make these statements, as I am, about God's special love for the Jewish people, it's not as though he doesn't love the Gentile nations as well. Same thing is true that we talked about last time, that actually as believers, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Word of God tells us that he knows us in a very special and a unique way, in a different way than he even knows those who are non-believers. So the same thing is true for those of us who know the Lord Jesus personally. There's a relationship that we have with our Father that is different than what unsaved people have. He becomes our Father when we become his child. And we become his child by personal faith in the Lord Jesus when we personally receive him. All right, let's go on with another point here that speaks of Israel's uniqueness. And this is going to come from two verses in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, and also Psalm 122 and verse 6. And the point that I want to try to demonstrate is this. Our attitude and our actions toward Israel have a direct bearing upon God's blessing us. In other words, the way I treat the Jewish people has a direct relationship as to how God dispenses his blessings to me. And I believe that is true for you as well. I believe that is also true for a nation, as I'll try to demonstrate. But let me read Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. And also Psalm 122 and verse 6. Genesis 12, 3 says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Well, this was Genesis chapter 12, where God is talking with Abraham. And this is where he is actually entering into this covenant relationship with Abraham for the first time. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And one of the offshoots of this wonderful covenant is that this nation that God is creating through Abraham, and through his descendants, through Isaac and Jacob, he says, I'll bless those who bless you. But on the other side of the coin, the one who curses you, I will curse. And then he talks about how really through the Lord Jesus coming from the people of Israel, there's going to be ultimate blessings for all those in the families of the earth who come to know the Lord Jesus personally. Well, how is it? Can it be demonstrated that this is true? Can it be shown through history, through things that we discover from the Word of God, that God does indeed bless those who bless Israel, and he does curse those who curse Israel? I think it can. I remember back when I was in Bible college, I was taking a particular course, and I decided to do a paper on this very verse, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And I sought to try to trace this through the Word of God to see if this really did take place. And it's interesting, when you think about the idea of those who cursed the people of Israel, I want you to think about these individuals and the nations with which they represented. Look at what happened to some of them. For example, think about Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Look what they were doing to the Jewish people. And then look what in turn God was doing to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Think about Haman during the time when Queen Esther was queen, and we read about this in the book of Esther, chapter 3 and chapter 7, and you read about how Haman had a desire to destroy the Jewish people, and this evil, wicked plot came to the surface, and the king heard about it, and he wanted to put an end to that, so Haman, who thought that he was going to have Mordecai hanged on his own gallows, well, what happened? Haman was hanged on his own gallows once this evil plot came to the surface. You think about some of the things that took place to countries that have been very, very ruthless and wicked towards the people of Israel. You think about some of the towns and people who are written about in some of the major prophets. For example, the town of Sidon, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, in Ezekiel chapter 35, you read about the people of Mount Seir, and you think about in Ezekiel chapter 26 about the people of Tyre. All of these people demonstrated hostility towards the Jewish people. And if you read the context of those chapters, you'll read what God did to them because of their hostile attitude toward the Jewish people. But think about the other side of the coin, those who blessed the people of Israel. You think of Rahab, the harlot. Every time she's mentioned in the New Testament, she's mentioned as Rahab, the harlot. But you know what? She wound up in a wonderful, prominent place in the New Testament. Even in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that wonderful hall of faith, Rahab is there. Why? Because of her faithfulness that she demonstrated towards the Jewish people. You think about Ruth, the Moabitess. She could have gone back to her own people, and yet, no, she decided she wanted the Jewish people to be her people, and how God blessed her. And you know, this is my personal opinion, but I think some of the blessings that we as a country here in America are receiving is because of our favorable attitude towards the people of Israel. We're one of the few nations left on this planet that have a positive, healthy attitude towards the Jewish people. And I shudder to see the time when America turns her back on Israel. And we know there's going to come a time when we will, because in Zechariah chapter 14, it says that all nations on the earth at one time in the future is going to turn their back upon the Jewish people. And I tell you what, now I don't know if America will even be around at that time, because we don't figure too much in Bible prophecy, but if we're around and we turn our back on Israel, we're going to lose a lot of the blessings that I think we have seen down through the years. So I believe what it does say in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And then Psalm 22 and verse 6, where we are instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. What a wonderful suggestion for us to pray for Israel. Pray for the Jewish people. We ought to be praying for people all around the world. Pray for the people whose eyes are still darkened because of their sin. Many people are brought up in countries where they systematically try to keep the truth of God away from them. We need to pray for them. We need to intercede on their behalf. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Israel is blinded. In fact, there's a unique blindness that the Jewish people have. It even goes so far, and it says that even when Moses is read, there's this veil that is over their eyes. It's over their heart. But praise the Lord, when they turn to the Lord Jesus, come to faith in him, that veil is removed away. So we have a wonderful privilege to intercede, to act as it were as a priest on behalf of this nation of Israel and other nations and other people who are still in darkness. So it tells us in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And I believe that's talking about spiritual prosperity. We want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, and I believe that's one of the wonderful benefits that comes our way. So the point that I'm trying to establish is that our attitude and our actions toward Israel will have a direct bearing upon God's blessing us. So if I were to ask you the question, do you want to be blessed? I hope that your hand goes up. Well, you know, there are many, many, many ways that it tells us in the Word of God that we could be recipients of the wonderful blessings of God. Well, one way that we might be missing out on some of the blessings of God is by doing what it says here in Genesis 12:3 and in Psalm 122 and verse 6, blessing the people of Israel, praying for the people of Israel. Does that mean that we agree with everything the nation of Israel does? Does that mean that we are in agreement with everything that the Jewish people do? Of course not, because we read in scriptures that even those that are going back to the land are going back in unbelief. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is because God chose them and has a special plan and place and purpose in his heart for them, it's wise for us to do what these verses teach us to do, and to make sure and to check our attitude and our actions toward the people of Israel. And then here's another one, and this is in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 26 and 27. And the point that I'm trying to establish here is that the church, the true believers, primarily in this day and age, made up of Gentiles from a Gentile background, the church is indebted to Israel. Now, sometimes when I bring this out, sometimes people will scratch their head and say, where in the world are you getting this one from? Well, that's exactly what it says in Romans chapter 15, where Paul is writing, and he says in verses 26 and 27, talking about these churches in Macedonia and Achaia, primarily churches made up from people, believers from a Gentile background. And notice what it says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. So here are Gentile believers taking up a contribution, an offering, and giving it to those who are the saints in Jerusalem, the Jewish people. And Paul goes on to say in verse 27, yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Did you hear that? That was so clear. It tells us that because the Gentile believers have shared in their spiritual things, well, how so? Well, do you realize that if you're coming from a Gentile background and you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, those covenants and promises that God made with Israel, you are sharing in them. You say, how so? Well, God made a covenant with Abraham. Because of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you have become a spiritual child of Abraham. Is that significant? Yes, it is, because only spiritual children of Abraham go to heaven. You are sharing in that wonderful covenant that God made with Abraham, the father of faith. Remember what it says about Abraham? He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. There was your classic example and illustration of one who was justified, declared righteous by faith. And that's exactly what happens to you. When we enter into personal faith with the Lord Jesus, we are declared righteous by God. Well, that's part of the wonderful Abrahamic covenant that God made with the Jewish people. We are sharing in the new covenant as well, where it tells us that God takes out our stony, hardened, calloused heart and gives us a new, sensitive heart made of flesh, one that can communicate and respond to the wonderful blessings of God. Well, this is all part of the covenants that God made with the Jewish people. And especially coming from a Gentile background, it says that you are sharing in their spiritual things. Now, as such, because of that, Paul says you are indebted then. The Gentile believers are indebted to minister to them, the Jewish people, in material things. Now, I know that's been debated. What does this mean? Many, many suggestions. One of the things that I believe that it's certainly referring to is that I think that every church, primarily made up of non-Jewish believers, ought to do what they can to make sure that the Jewish people are hearing the gospel. And that's why I believe that your church, if you have a missions program, I would suggest that you include Jewish missions in your missionary budget. Could I ask you, the church that you attend, if it has a missions program, is there a Jewish missionary that you are supporting? I hope so. I hope so. If not, we could certainly put you in touch with some. We here at the Midwest Messianic Center, that's why we exist, and that's how we exist. We exist because people like yourself, churches that you might attend, will partner with us, helping us get the word of God out to our Jewish friends here and in other parts of the country as well, where we travel and where we send material and literature to all around. So I hope that you will take that seriously into consideration. Think about it, because Paul says that the church is indebted to the Jewish people. Well, these are just some. There are others as well that shows Israel's uniqueness. But I hope that this point has been made clear. And again, I want to close by saying this doesn't mean that God doesn't love the Gentile nations. He does. God so loved the world. Well, I asked you earlier to get a piece of paper and a pencil. I want to give you our address, and it's MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Write us, because we have all kinds of information that we make available to you, tracts, books, magazine. We have a wonderful book that deals with this whole concept of these covenants and some of the blessings that are ours when we understand them. So if you have a Jewish acquaintance and we could assist you in any way, that's what we want to do. And if you could help us in any way to keep these programs on the air, we would certainly appreciate that as well. You know that we don't talk a lot about money at all. We talk to you a lot about praying for us, a lot about learning and understanding what the Bible says about our Jewish friends. And we trust God that He will continue to sustain this ministry. And we thank God that He has. Well, I hope that this has been a blessing to you as we've considered the unique place that Israel has in the plan and purpose of God. Well, until next time, may God bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. We are a listener-supported ministry and would appreciate your financial gifts to help in this outreach. Your gift in any amount is tax-deductible and can be sent to MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.